And so I want to encourage you with that. And so James chapter 5, and we're going to look at verse number 19 and 20 tonight. James 5 and verse number 19 and 20. All right, as you find that, we'll read these two verses together and hope it'd be a help tonight. James 5, verse number 19, the Bible says, "Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth a sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins." Let's pray. I ask you, Lord, for your help tonight and submit to your will and to your way and ask Holy Spirit to work in our hearts and lives and help, Lord, where it's needed. Many people have come from a busy day of work and sitting down to rest for a few, but please speak to our hearts, Lord. We need you, and thank you for the time we've already had in prayer and singing. Please bless the message, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as we look at this now, it's been a number of months now as we've been looking through this book of James and preaching through this book. And the book of James is very direct about preaching the truth. He that to be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. And the subject really is about putting your faith to work. Putting your faith to work. The book is very direct about calling out sin and calling it what it is. And that's what God's word does in our lives, doesn't it? It calls it out. And it's interesting how the book ends with these two verses about forgiveness and restoration. And how when God calls out our sin, He always gives us a path back home. He always gives you a path of repentance and forgiveness and getting that right with the Lord. And as we look at these two verses here, it says, "Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins." And again, it talks about truth and error. Truth and error. There's a lot of truth and error out in the world today. Have you noticed that? There's a lot of things and you think, "I can't believe that that's true." And then you find out, "Oh, that's not true." We're talking about it today. You ever get false news? Right? Someone tells you something, you go, "I can't believe that." And you realize, "Oh, that didn't actually happen." There's a lot of false news out there. Or you could say fake news. a lot of false news there. But there's the truth and there's the error. And I'm thankful that we have the truth and we hold it in our hands, aren't you? The truth isn't your opinion against my opinion, whoever yells the loudest. That's what a lot of people think. Well, if you have enough signs in your front yard, enough bumper stickers on the back of your car, some people, you could just ride behind them for an hour and reading all of their thoughts in the back of their car. And I think, did you keep anything to yourself? No, it's all out there for us all to read. But there's truth and error, and the Bible tells us the truth and tells us when we've gotten our ways have been a way of error, but then the path to get that right as well. The Christian life, as we look at this subject of the book of James, that really calls out our sin, tells you to be a doer of the word, but the Christian life is about balance. It's about balance, right? If you're all judgment and no mercy, well, there needs to be judgment, but there needs to be mercy as well. Or if you're all mercy and no judgment, there needs to be a balance in the Christian life. Jesus Christ was obviously perfect in every area, but he had a perfect balance as a Christian example for us to follow. And we look at this today as we look at the subject about this truth and error and basically how to get some things right in our lives, whether it be ourselves or somebody else. So let's look at these couple of verses this evening and get a truth here that I believe will be a help for us tonight. In verse number 19, "Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him." In the next verse, it talks about a sinner, saving a sinner from the error of his way. To err or err is to go away from the truth. To go away from the truth. Now, let's look at this for a minute as we begin. And look at this, first of all, the first word is brethren. And it's speaking to Christians, to brethren. And he said, if any of you, and I believe he's addressing the group here and talking about if any among you, if there's others among you that stray from the truth, and gives them instruction about what to do with those that stray. So he's speaking to the saved here, but then he says, if any of you do err from the truth. And so there were some that they're saved. At some point they were following the truth, but then they've gone astray. They've gone astray. They walked away from the Lord. They were saved, loved the Lord, and if they were saved, still saved. That doesn't change. But if you get, they get saved, they're faithful to church and brought their Bible and praying and living right and holy and godly, and but then something changed. Something changed. The truth didn't change. They did. Right? And people change and they stray from the truth. The truth is always the truth, but then people stray from it. All right? What people like to do today is when we don't like the truth, we change the truth. Well, then it's always changing. It's a moving target. But God is truth and God never changes. And so we know that we can follow the truth. The truth is the truth and it never changes. It's not, I'm right and you're wrong. Again, it's not if I yell the loudest and if I'm older, if I'm, you know, whatever. And people try to define that. But God defines what truth is. The Bible says in John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And again, looking at this, that knowing that the Bible is the truth. And it's important, Christian, that you believe, that you hold in your hands the perfect, inspired, preserved word of God. If you don't believe that, then your Bible changes eventually. And then the truth changes. That's why there's so many false religions. That's why there's so many false Bibles, because people say, I don't like the truth that you have, I want my own truth. I want to start my own religion. Well, that's why it's so confusing and so messed up with religions today, because there are so many so-called truths. Here's the thing, though. God is true. God said, let God be true and every man a liar. And so when we hold the Word of God up as the truth, if we contradict the Bible, well, the Bible's right and we're wrong. Correct? The Bible's right and we're wrong. You have beliefs based on the Word of God, then it's not, well, I'm right and you're wrong. Well, the Bible's right and you're wrong. That's why when you always, we'll get to the confrontation of sin here in a little bit, but when you confront that, it's not, well, I believe this, instead of, here's what the Bible says. Here's what God says about the truth. And there's people that are straying from the truth. Have you noticed that? People straying from the truth. And it's sad when people stray from the Lord. They grow up in a Christian home or get saved and they've been taught the truth and living a holy life and in God's will for their life, and then they stray from the truth. You have to love the truth. You have to love the truth. And when you love the truth, you hate sin. They go hand in hand. Not hating the sinner, but hating sin and the effects of sin. It's sad watching people that stray from the truth. And you never want to be like, I told you so. I'm waiting to watch you fall on your face and ruin your life. It's sad when you see someone stray from the truth. And you could pretty much pinpoint it and say, you're leaving the truth based on the Word of God, not my truth, but God's truth, and I see where you're going, and I know how this ends up based on the Word of God. Seen that too many times, haven't we? People that stray from it, but many times they think this, I'm going to stray from the truth, but I'll be different. I'm going to go live a life of sin, but I'm not going to have the same struggles, addictions, failures. I'm going to do it different. I'm going to be the one to succeed. No, you're not. No, you're not. And we must follow the truth. Today, kindness is accepting your form of truth, right? Well, you have your own form of truth based on your beliefs, based on your practices, your decisions, based on your lifestyle. And we say, well, that's your truth, and I have my truth, and they have theirs. No, no. Truth is truth, and it's the same for everybody. It doesn't change. It's the truth we line up to the Word of God. And so it's not about acceptance and kindness and all that. It's about the truth. Now, there should be the truth in love, but the truth is still the truth, like it or not. Agree with it or not, it doesn't change. God's not changing for anyone, anytime, any day. So we see that there were some that were following the truth, and somehow they changed. And they decided to turn from the Lord. Now, someone that is not saved doesn't know any better. A lost person can try to live a Christian life in the flesh. It doesn't work. But honestly, an unsaved person, they don't know any better. They can't live in the Spirit. You can't live in the Spirit if you're not saved. But it's a saved person that has erred from the truth. Someone that knows better, been taught the Word of God, the Holy Spirit living in your heart, And then you decide, instead of living under the blessing and the protection and the love of God, I want to go live for the world. How foolish is that? How foolish is that to decide to leave the protection and the blessing of God's will to go live in the world? Someone that's saved and they turn away from God to live a life of sin, to love the world, to live in the flesh. Here's the thing. That's their decision. Because God made you and I with a free will. And they decided to leave the truth. Someone walking away from the truth is far too common. Many times people say this, well, I have my own truth. I have my own beliefs. Well, you're welcome to have your own beliefs, but you're also welcome to be wrong as well. And so am I, correct? You have the freedom to be wrong, and so do I. But the truth doesn't change. Say, I have my own truth. Well, that's great, but here's what the Bible says. Or people say this, I'm not convicted about that. God hasn't convicted me about that in the Bible. Whether or not you're convicted about it, it's still in the Bible, and it doesn't change. And I believe they still are convicted, but lying to themselves, trying to cover that up, quenching the Holy Spirit. Or some, well, I don't believe that anymore. I don't believe that, and try to change their beliefs in some way. People that have turned from the Lord. Paul would say this, he says, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. There's many today that are faithful serving God, but then it seems like, well, where are they tomorrow, next year? You know, like, what happened? Something changed in their heart and their life, and they turned away. You know, that's sad. I hope you never find any kind of an enjoyment watching someone walk away from the Lord and fall on their face. That would be cruel. Because God finds no enjoyment and pleasure with that either. You know, that go away and see how it works for you. No, it should be over tears and prayer and love and trying to do what you can to help them. But it's a decision they make. But it hurts. It's sad. And to be honest, it makes me angry at the devil and sin. Because you see where sin takes people in their life. And when they walk away from the truth, you say, I know how this goes and I know how it ends. And you pray that God gets a hold of their heart before it's too late. And so we see, first of all, the error. There's a lot of error today. There's a lot of sin. There's a lot of walking away from the truth. You could do one of two things with that. And you could say, well, everyone else is walking away from the Lord. I might as well do the same thing as well. Well, that's the wrong thing to do. Why? Because they need a church to come back to. They need a faithful mother or father or sister or brother to stay faithful to God, so when they come back from the error of their ways, you say, we've been praying for you. We love you. You know, the worst thing to do, I'm maybe getting ahead of myself, is when someone has walked away from the Lord and they've been out of church for a while and they come back to church and you go, where you been, stranger? Where you been all this time? What have you been up to? And they go, well, you know, not been good. How about just, good to see you. Glad to have you here. We love you. You're welcome here. We would tell our teenagers this for many years, and we told our teen, once one of our teenagers, you're always one of our teenagers, all right? They're all of our adopted kids that grow up in our church. But we tell them this, once you're one of our teenagers, you're always one. We always love you. We always pray for you, no matter where you go in your life, because that's how the love of God is. You say, but they've turned away from God. That should never stop us from loving them, praying for them, but also staying faithful to the truth. Too many times Christians say, well, they've strayed. What's the point? Someone that maybe you trusted in, someone that you followed, someone that you respected as a Christian, and they walked away from God. You say, well, if it wasn't real for them, then it's not real for me. Now, you stay faithful to the truth. The truth doesn't change whether or not someone gets out of line and walks away from God or not. Paul said, be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. So if Paul walked away from God, so, well, then everyone that followed Paul walks away from... No, you keep following God. Amen? You keep following the truth. So we see, first of all, the error, that those that walked away from the truth. But then we see the converting. Says, brethren, if one of you do err from the truth, and one convert him. Now understand this. No one saves another person. Now, this is talking about a brother that's walked away from the Lord. I can't make anyone repent. I can't make anyone get saved. That's a heart issue. I can help to direct him there, and we'll talk about that here in a bit here. But it says, if one of you convert him, and if there's someone that cares enough, that has their heart, that has their ear, that can help to point them back on the right track. To convert is to cause, to return, to bring back. It's a heart issue. When someone walks away from God, it's always a heart issue, every time. And if God can use you to help to bring someone back, in verse number 20, and it says, let him know that he which converteth a sinner from the error of his way shall save his soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. I think of the prodigal son, and he was in his father's home and was loved and cared for and provided for. And one day the prodigal son said, give me my inheritance. And he took his inheritance, and I think in spite and in his sinful will, went to the world. And the Bible says he wasted his substance with riotous living. He wasted his life and his money, his inheritance, with living a wicked lifestyle. And that's what the world always does, right? The world takes your investment, your inheritance, the precious things that God gave to you, and just throws it away. And he wasted his life there. And when he lost all of his money and his friends and the famine came, when everything crashed down, he went to that pig pen and would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat. And the Bible says, while he was there in that pig pen, I could imagine him on all fours in the mud around pigs. Disgusting animals that make some delicious food. You were right ahead of me, right? Is there anything wrong to put bacon in? I don't think so. I think bacon can pretty much go in anything. Can I get an amen on that tonight? That was the best amen of the night. Praise the Lord. We got you going there. Bacon ice cream, bacon donuts, you know, put it in whatever you want. I think it could be strange sometimes, but hey, we'll give it a try. But while he was there with the bacon, I mean with the pigs, and the Bible says when he came to himself, at some point he got to the lowest of lows in his life. Do you think he saw himself there when he left his house? Probably with his head held high and his chest out and with his bag of money over his shoulder, and he thought, I'm going to go make a name for myself and have all the fun, and maybe he thought, oh, my name's going to be on the billboards and everyone's going to love me. He didn't see the pig pen. God did. I bet his father did. And he said, I know where he's going. He couldn't stop him. And finally, in that pig pen, and he woke up, so to say. The Bible says when he came to himself, then God changed his heart. And he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food enough? They have food and clothes. And the stuff that I had back then, that I should have stayed. And then finally he humbled himself, didn't he? And he went back home, and man, he left with his head held high, but he came back with his head down low, humble with the right spirit, and came back to his father and said, I've sinned. I've done wrong. And he came back there, and his father hugged him and kissed him and put a ring on his finger and a robe on and said, kill the fatted calf. And they had a party there because his son was home because he repented of his ways. He was converted. His heart was changed. His mind was changed from living for the world. Then he wanted to go back home to his father. You don't convert someone that has gone astray by joining them. What did the father do? He was looking. He was watching and waiting for the son to come back home. And when he came, he hugged him, ran to him and kissed him and said, my son is back home. He was dead and now he's alive again. And he said, I've done wrong. And he started saying, I've done wrong. And his father said, you're forgiven. You're forgiven. Aren't you thankful for the love of God and for the mercy of God? Too many times we think, well, you know, if you're coming back home, you better come home on all fours. You know, and there needs to be a right spirit with getting right. But his heart was right when he came back. We see the converting is, first of all, there's a confrontation of sin. And it says here, if they err from the truth and one convert him. And if the Bible says in verse number 20, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death. And when someone has done wrong, I believe there should be love and there should be prayer and there should be patience and God's working, but I believe that there should be some confronting of sin. When David had sinned with Bathsheba and God brought Nathan the prophet to him Nathan came to him and said, Thou art the man. You're the one that sinned. And there's going to be a confronting of sin. And I believe that is with the Word of God, that you take the Bible and say, can I in love just tell you the Bible is saying you're going the wrong direction. I want to help you. They don't need someone to go and stand on the coffee table and preach at them and send them a text every day and all that to try to berate them with the Bible, if you will, but to confront with sin, to show them the error of their ways. And I believe there's a right spirit that needs to be done with that, but there needs to be confronting of sin. There's not much of that done today anymore. There's a whole lot of just accepting of sin instead of confronting of sin. I know this, that when I sin, God confronts me with my sin. He confronts me and he tells me very clearly, here's what you did wrong. You ever go to bed at the end of the night and think, man, I failed today. You ever do that? Man, that was not my best day. Lord, would you help me? would you help? And you have that moment, you do that, and you say, Lord, forgive me. I had a bad spirit today, you know, this is a confronting that the Holy Spirit must do. There's confronting with the Bible, but there's a work that the Holy Spirit must do. And that's the thing, that I can't do it and you can't do it. The Holy Spirit has to work on their heart. You have a loved one that's maybe gone astray, and you pray for them. And don't quit praying for them. And pray that the Holy Spirit works on their heart. Someone that is saved, the Holy Spirit never leaves. You can quench the Spirit, but the Holy Spirit is still there. And pray the Holy Spirit would convict and work on their heart and do what you and I can't do. Because here's the thing, that you can't convince somebody into getting saved. You can't talk someone into getting their life right. God and His Word and the Holy Spirit must do a work that you and I can't do. Right? So, well, I'm going to convert them. I told you a little while ago here, but we had a teenager that came to church when they were younger and they got saved. And I didn't remember their whole salvation testimony, but when they came back and I asked, you know, do you know if you're saved? And the boy said, oh yeah, you saved me. And I said, wait a second, I don't save anybody. God does the saving. You know, I think he meant like, you led me to the Lord. Okay, I didn't do anything though. God did that. But confronting the sin, but presenting the truth and presenting the Word of God and giving a Bible principle and letting the Bible work on their heart. Why? Because the Word of God is a sharp two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. And God's Word pricks. And God's Word cuts. And it reveals things in our life. That's why when you get a chance to witness to somebody, you can try to talk them out of their false religion and into getting saved. But give them Scripture. There's power in the Word of God, presenting the truth, but then allowing God to work on their heart. I think too many times we try to force someone into getting right. And you know, if I talk to them till I'm blue in the face, they'll get right with God. No, you can't do what only God can do. And they must choose again to repent. So we see first the error of their way, but then we see the converting of this person that has strayed. But then thirdly, we see the saving. In verse number 20, the Bible says, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death, and shall hide a multitude of sins. There's someone that's gone astray, and they walked away from the Lord. Maybe it's weeks, months, years, or decades. Never give up on that person. I hope we never think, well, they're too far gone. They could never turn back. I believe in the working of God. And I believe in the power of prayer. And that God can save any soul, that God can take anyone that has turned away from God and can turn them back. I don't believe anyone is too far gone. But that God would save their soul from death. In James chapter 1, verse 15, it says, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, it bringeth forth death. And you may see the path they're taking, and it's literally leading to a life of death. Or the death of them being in God's will, or relationships, or job. And it's just, it seems like everything is just dying around them. But God can save that soul from death. The Bible says here that you save a soul from death and hide a multitude of sins. To hide doesn't mean to cover up. To cover up and say, well, there's nothing wrong here. Kind of like that kid when they go to clean the room and they shove everything in the closet or shove it under the bed and they hide it and say it's clean. No, it's not clean. You just hid it. All right? You're just stuffing it somewhere. You're not dealing with the problem. To hide a multitude of sins is to pardon and to forgive. to pardon and to forgive. As a Christian, we must never forget the principle of the forgiveness that we have received that we must give to others as well. Too many times we say, well, you know, I can never forgive you for that. There's nothing that God cannot forgive other than rejecting Jesus Christ as your Savior. And you stand before God, and there's no second chance at that point. But God, in His love and in His mercy and in His grace, forgives. Again, I'm thankful for that word of forgiveness. And that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Again, you say they're too far gone. They've done too much bad. Well, how far is that? How far is too far? I'm going to jump ahead of myself for a little bit, but was there a point in your life where you were too far gone? Where someone may have looked at you and said, well, they'll never turn back to God, and God can never use their life. I'm thankful for God's mercy and grace on my life when I didn't deserve it. And God said, I forgive, and I'll heal, and I'll restore, and I'll put the pieces back together. Here's the thing with the saving of God, that God can save a soul from death. They're on the life of destruction, but God can turn their heart around as they repent, turn their life back to Him. That's a choice of that person's heart, though. Something we have to remember is this. Don't forget who you used to be. Don't forget who you used to be. I think sometimes that we look down the brim of our nose that we are holier than thou, and we should live holy lives, and I get that. Yes, we should. But then to look down at others and say, well, how could you? How dare you? Instead of saying, well, how dare I walk away from God in my moments of foolishness and living in the flesh? And there was someone that confronted me of my sin. I remember those conversations. I remember hearing those prayers and saying, would you save his soul and turn his heart back? Don't forget who you used to be. You think, well, they walked away. You know, they may walk away from God, but God still loves them. Amen? God doesn't forget. God doesn't turn His back on them, although they may have turned their back on God. Don't forget who you used to be. And don't forget what you could be. By the grace of God, right? Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he, what? Lest he fall. Before you look in pride and say, I can't believe they would. Remember at the Last Supper And Jesus said before you'll leave me to the disciples. You'll desert me. You'll turn against me. And Peter said, I'll never deny you. And he said, well, you're going to, before the cock crows twice, you're going to deny me thrice. And he went and denied the Lord. He walked away from God, and disciple of Jesus Christ. And before you look too harshly upon Peter, where were the rest of the disciples other than John at the foot of the cross? They had walked away from God. You know, many times I think, I'll never leave you, God. Be careful in your pride what you promise that you would never do. You know, maybe you look up to someone in your life that failed you as a hero of the faith. How could they do that? But by the grace of God, I go that same way as well. Amen? Take heed lest you fall as well. That could be you. And don't forget that God can do anything. That God can do anything. That no one is too far gone. As I think of this passage, I think of Abraham and Lot. And Lot, he turned away from God and turned away from Abraham. But Abraham never stopped praying for him. Never stopped praying. No matter where he went, he kept praying. He kept loving him. Did Lot ever fully turn back to following God? No. He escaped the fire and brimstone of Sodom and Gomorrah. Him and his daughters, his wife turned to a pillar of salt, but a life of sin. And it was a mess. But he never stopped praying for him, never stopped believing that God could work in his life. And I'm thankful again for forgiveness and for conversion and God turning someone's heart and life around. Two things as we finish tonight is this. Stay faithful to the truth. Stay faithful to the truth. Too many people take seasons of being faithful to God and then a season of, you know, I'll be in church for a while and then I'll get out of church for a while and I'll be faithful to reading God's word, and then I'll get away from it, and I'll live a holy, separated life, and then I'll live a life of sin for a while, just kind of in and out. Stay faithful to the truth. Stay on the straight and narrow. You don't want to get on that path going the wrong direction. But if there's someone that is on the wrong direction, know that the path that went out is the same path that gets you back home. And keep praying for those. Keep loving them. Keep witnessing. Keep encouraging. And keep believing that God can turn their heart around. And God can save that soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. Well, that'll conclude the series in the book of James. Hope it was a help to you and it was a help to me. Let's pray as we finish tonight. We thank you, Lord, for the night. Thank you, Lord, for your forgiveness. Thank you for your mercy and your grace. Lord, how many times do we seem to exceed your mercy and your grace or seem to take advantage of it? But Lord, I'm thankful for that. I pray, Lord, if there's someone that has strayed away from you, that they would learn from the error of their ways and turn back to the truth. I pray that if there's some in this room tonight, that there was a name in their mind, there was a person in their heart, that we'd be praying for them. We'd stay faithful. We'd encourage them. And you'd help to save that soul from death. And you'd turn their heart and their life back around to the truth. And Lord, believe, Lord, that you can do anything. Thank you, Lord, for the night. Bless the offerings we take it now this evening. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.